Right. So to try and set the stage for you, currently at the time I'm recording this episode, I only work part-time at a traditional job to support my family. That is, I'm only clocking a few hours every week at the office to pay the bills. The rest of my time is spent either serving bivocationally, and for several years it was actually serving voluntarily at a small church where I pastor. Sometime I think I'll do an episode on my experience of pastoring for a while without pay, in the same way the Apostle Paul supported himself as a tent maker so as to not become a burden on the church. I have a story I can share about that sometime. Or my time is now spent at home, managing our homestead and investing more time with Amy and the kids. I have more or less semi-retired from the workplace in that I'm off the clock more than I'm on the clock when it comes to earning an income. That is, perhaps, as good of a definition as any when it comes to what I mean by semi-retirement. Usually when you think of those semi-retiring, you think of those nearing the typical retirement threshold. Traditionally, that's the age of 65, but for whatever reason, they aren't ready to fully retire yet, so they semi-retire. That is, they reduce their hours enough to still bring in enough to meet their needs, while the rest of their time is given to whatever you associate with retirement. While you usually see the milestone of retirement or semi-retirement reached by those who've spent the last 40 years of their careers working up to it, I've discovered it doesn't have to take 40 years to reach. Here, a few years ago, I managed to drop to a part-time status at my job by the age of 35 after only working 13 or 14 years at the same desk. Honestly, I'm currently taking steps to phase out completely and to wean myself off of even the part-time arrangement so that I can step away from the office altogether, perhaps before I turn 40. And at the time I'm recording this, I'm about to turn 39. Actually, there are a couple of developments happening right now behind the scenes that could result in a big announcement by Amy and me coming very soon. We'll update you on all of that, Lord willing, in the near future. But the point is, by the age of 35, the Lord was kind enough to allow me to transition to a part-time status, freeing me up for other things, and perhaps before the age of 40 will allow me to retire fully from the old 9-to-5 job. Just to clarify so you don't get the wrong impression, that doesn't mean I've retired from having to work at all to support my family, but just that I'm not having to work for an outside employer to do so. The transition has been to learn to support myself through means of self-employment and self-sustainability. A lot more could be said about what all that looks like practically for us in terms of the actual number of hours being clocked or the actual number of dollars being brought in. If it helps, I can always give some examples of that another day. Suffice it to say, to use an illustration, it can feel a lot like walking a tightrope that requires one small, careful, and calculated financial step after another, ultimately trusting the Lord every single step of the way so that you don't fall into ruin. We can get into the details later. But in this episode, what I thought I'd do is give more of a big picture overview of what I think have been the major pivotal steps on the tightrope that have resulted in the greatest strides of progress for us. Granted, it's probably true every step is important, since every step has the potential of being a devastating misstep, but what I want to give you here are the steps that I see provided us with the best footing to make all the other steps possible. I'll give you 7 pivotal steps that have made a difference for us. To jump right into those, number 1, we cultivated a deep-rooted conviction to be financially free. If you're going to go after any kind of long-term, high-stakes level goal, such as the kind we're talking about, you've got to be serious about going after it. This can't be done half-heartedly. You can't get halfway down the tightrope and very easily decide to turn around or to take a short siesta. You've got to move forward methodically and unwaveringly, one step after another, until you reach the goal. And in case I didn't mention it, that can take years. For Amy and me, so far, it's taken a good decade. We started our homestead in 2012. It's now 2022. So it's taken 10 years to get where we are today. I'll tell you, those 10 years and all the hard work that went into them could have resulted in us throwing in the towel countless times over had we not at the beginning, before ever breaking ground, committed to seeing it through. It's a mental decision, and if Scripture is informing that decision, it can be a spiritual conviction as well that the goal you have is part of God's plan for you, therefore you cannot not see it through. So that's the first thing. I started by cultivating a deep-rooted conviction to be financially free, and I not only cultivated that in my own heart, but I cultivated that in Amy's heart as well. Number two, I adopted a modest standard of living for my family. I talk about this in some of my other episodes, but very early, Amy and I agreed to live according to a suitable and not overly self-indulgent lifestyle. Whether it was the size of the house we would live in, or the style car we would drive, or where we would buy our clothes, or the kinds of amenities and luxuries we would have, we agreed at the start to rank practicality over pampering. As a result, the amount of money we've needed to bring in has been a lot less than it would be otherwise had we chosen a more expensive standard of living. One of the benefits to this is that for most of our marriage, Amy has been able to be a stay-at-home mom with the kids since we determined not to need a second income to afford whatever added and unnecessary expenses. The other obvious benefit is that by adopting a modest standard of living and keeping that standard of living relatively constant, any added income that's brought in, whether that was in the form of a raise at work or a bonus or a tax refund or some other financial boost, those extra dollars have been able to be strategically used or saved or invested toward meeting the larger financial goal. Number three, I followed a strict budget, savings, and investment plan. Every dollar earned over the last 10 years, and really it's not just been every dollar earned, but it's been every penny earned since loose change really does add up. But every bit of it has been put to work in a larger financial plan that I've tried very hard to be deliberate with. Since payday for me at the office is twice a month over 10 years, that's 240 paychecks. Guess what? For every paycheck I received, I allocated every penny for a specific purpose. Some of it went to everyday expenses, which as I've already hinted at, has been strategically modest. Some of it has gone to savings for big purchases and future expense needs rather than borrowing to pay for those needs. And then other portions have consistently gone to different kinds of investments, but every penny has had a purpose. Number four, we got and stayed out of debt. When Amy and I first got married, I'll admit to you, we both had some debt to our names. She had debt related, I think, to some medical expenses. I had debt related to seminary classes. And then not long into our marriage, we took on more debt with the purchase of our vehicles and a new suburban home. It was around that same time we were cultivating that deep-rooted conviction to be financially free. So we also developed and followed a strict debt payoff plan where we would make accelerated payments toward the principal of our balances. We pulled up amortization schedules for each debt, and using Dave Ramsey's snowball method, we knocked out one balance at a time. Whenever we received one of those unexpected financial boosts I talked about earlier, we would be strategic in how much of that would go toward debt or go toward savings and investing or how much we would donate to the church. But finally, in 2018, after wiping out all of our smaller debts, we were able to write our final check to the mortgage company and reached the halfway point, as we saw it, in our journey to financial freedom. Number five, we applied much of our now extra cash flow to invest in income-earning assets. If you no longer have to spend a good part of your income to pay off debt, what else are you going to apply that money towards? Well, if you're keeping your standard of living the same, you can become more charitable, or you can put more towards your saving goals, or you can invest even more toward what I like to call income-earning assets. To have a fuller understanding of what I mean by that, you can go back and listen to my episode titled Assets versus Liabilities, The Key to Building Wealth. The idea is to apply your dollars into things that have the ability to produce more dollars. That could be the stock market. It could be a tenant property. It could be your own small business. It could be all of the above. Being homesteaders, a big investment for us has been in the homestead itself, specifically in developing self-sustaining enterprises that generate their own income. We've developed multiple ventures on the farm now, from selling homemade soaps and baked goods to selling livestock, plants, and produce to renting out a tenant property we've been slowly developing. The more we apply our extra cash flow into opportunities that have the potential to generate their own cash flow, the more financially free we become. Number six, we designed a flexible work arrangement at the office and gradually decreased the number of hours I worked there. As progress was made in meeting our financial goals, which was a combination of paying off the debt and investing in our homestead, in addition to the value of my hourly wage at the office gradually rising over the years, I began to trade dollars for time. In other words, keeping our standard of living the same, whenever I got a raise at work, or as the homestead brought in greater earnings, the amount of hours I needed to work at the office naturally decreased. As a result, I've slowly been able to decrease my hours to the point that I'm now part-time. I'd say a couple of things are needed in order to make that happen. First and foremost, I think what's needed is a workplace that is willing to allow you to phase yourself out. What's needed is a boss who is understanding and supportive of you developing a flexible work arrangement. I'll tell you, Amy and I would not be where we are today if it wasn't for the accommodations of my employers to let me do it. I am so very grateful. I think the other thing that's needed is for you to so improve at what you do that you're able to do more for the company in less time, thus increasing your hourly value and decreasing the number of needed hours to do the job. Number seven, last but certainly not least, we have sought to keep God central in our family. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." While I don't buy into the lie of the prosperity gospel that says God's will for your life is necessarily health, wealth, and happiness, especially since I can tell you hardship, challenge, and some suffering has been a big part of the journey for us, we don't expect to succeed in any of this apart from God's blessings granting us to do so. I approach all the financial steps I've shared with a fundamental belief in the sovereignty of God, and that ultimately speaking, He is the one who establishes our footing. As Proverbs 16 verse 9 says, "The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps." What that translates to for me is a fundamental dependency on God to see me through. What that translates to for me is a continuous need to keep my eyes on the Lord, more so than any retirement or financial goal, and to be in a continuous spirit of prayer that His will, not mine, be done. Which, by the way, speaks to an important preliminary motive one should have to make any personal financial progress, and that is to serve God's interests, not our own. It can't be overstated. Any pursuit of greater financial freedom should always be to make ourselves more useful to build God's kingdom, not our own. He is preeminent. More important than our deep-rooted conviction and motivation to be financially free, more important than our modest standard of living, more important than our budget savings and investment plans, more important than our getting out of debt, our income-earning ventures, or my flexible work arrangement and supportive bosses, is the pure grace and favor of God on our lives. It's all grace. It's all credit to Him. It's all for His glory. Therefore, the most important thing you can do to see your financial plans bear fruit is to praise the Lord with each and every step. As my wife likes to say, God won't give it to you unless He knows He'll get it through you. Well, those are seven pivotal steps that we've taken that have allowed me to semi-retire by the age of 35. I hope they are helpful to you. If anybody has any questions or would like me to elaborate more on any of the things I've said, just leave a comment for us. If you haven't already, I encourage you to like and subscribe to our channel. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Until next time, God bless, and thanks for listening.